there's a certain part of the first part of Levi, I mean of Malachi, that I have to repeat tonight. Because Harry re-recorded over Tuesday night, so I'm not going to repeat at all. I'm just going to repeat the highlights of what we.
It's only 15 minutes, right? Leave out the part about the demons.
Malachi 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. And we talked about the idea that burden is a place of belief whereby you have no other option but to speak it at whatever cost, whether anybody listens. And the only place the burden of the Lord can be spoken from is on the mercy seat underneath the wings of the cherubim. That's why it says, Paul says, now, let every man speak as the oracle of God, or let every man speak as the burden of God. By Malachi. Malachi is a word which just seems simply means messenger. It means one sent. And in order for it to be, one sent of Jehovah, which is the implication, it would have to be Malachiah. That would mean one sent of Jehovah. Malachi means just one sent in the Hebrew. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? No one has enough guts to say that, except if you're a brand new believer. You say, wherein hast thou loved us, every time you complain, every time you whine, every time you murmur, you're saying to God, wherein hast thou loved us? And God, rather than answering the question, comes at you from left field and says, was not Esau Jacob's brother? What the hell does that have to do with anything? Well, that means that Esau and Jacob were twins. And you in the flesh, and you after your own ideas, and you after your own desires, are Esau. And Jacob is that which will be transformed into Israel. You're twins. Saith the Lord, yet I love Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. The mountains and the heritage of Esau are all the places, the high places, the areas that you dream about, your dreams, your ambitions. They're laid to waste. Your plans, your fantasy life, so that God can give you the desire of your heart. And in the Hallel, when it says that, or is it in the Psalms of Ascent? No, Psalms of Ascent, where it says, I look to the hills. Let me show you. Don't go there. I'll go there. What? In Psalm 121 it says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. The hills or the mountains are always the place either of help or desire, or in the ancient times it was a place they thought God lived. It was a place above the cloud. And so always, we ever and always, after the flesh, Esau always looks to the hills for his help. That's why you spent a lifetime having your works lead you. You look to the hill, you have a plan of action, you develop an idea, and then you are led by that idea just as though you were a bull with a ring in your nose. Some of you, even to your own plans, are a rebellious bull, which is really stupid. But God says your heritage is not in that arena. Your help cometh not from the hills. Your help cometh from Jehovah. Therefore, from now on, your work or works will follow you. Totally different concept. But it's the single most important concept that can be realized
in the day-to-day activities, in the smallest details of your thought process. What's going on? How come everybody's in Guam? Okay. Well, the reason I'm doing it is because of what I told you before. I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Every time you decide that you fall, your plans fail, and you get on your strength of will and decide you're going to improve yourself, you're building the waste places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but God will throw down. That's all God's been doing in most of your lives ever since I've met you. You have been deciding after your own ideas to go out and build, rebuild after a point of failure, and God throws down on you. You know, remember one week he threw down on grandmothers. Next week he throws down on cars. Next week he throws down on jobs. He throws down on everything. They shall build, and I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. The border of Israel and the border of wickedness are exactly the same point. Just like the cloud in the wilderness. The cloud was darkness to Egypt, but the bright sun of Shekinah glory to Israel. Same circumstance, same border. Now we get to the short hairs. Verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts, unto you, O priests. Now we've got a problem here. Now he's talking to priests. He started out talking as a general statement to all of Israel. Now in verse 6, he starts talking to priests. Priest means those who are, you know what, I don't have to give you what priest means. Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest, that despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised thy name? You offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In a strange, strange way, you polluted it in that you say the table of the Lord is contemptible. You understand? That means if in any area of your life that you do not see that it's the perfect hand of God, then you have said that there is a spot on the sacrifice, and therefore the time in which you get religious, you are offering a polluted bread, or a spotted sacrifice, or a lame or blind sacrifice. Do you understand me? It's the responsibility of the priest to see that there is no place of polluted sacrifice. It doesn't matter what takes place after the flesh. You offer yourself the willing sacrifice. Present yourself the living sacrifice. Totally. At that moment, you no longer have the right to say that there's something wrong with me or you or your situation or your condition. If you say it in the smallest arena of your life, then you are saying to God in toto that the table of the Lord is polluted. In fact, this is why it's so vital that you abandon yourself. This is the nut cutting where the abandonment of self takes place. If there is the slightest bit of self-analysis, then you by definition, after the senses, will have to say the table of the Lord is polluted. Do you understand? And I'm talking, you understand that all Levites are priests. All priests aren't Levites. You never again have the right to say there is something wrong. If you say it in the slightest arena, you are saying that the whole is polluted. This is a big time. This is big. This is why Christ had to say the first requirement of a disciple was that you abandon yourself. Take no thought for yourself in any dimension. Do you understand now why? Because it had to fulfill this aspect of the law.
And if you look after the flesh,
you will never, ever, ever.
There's plenty wrong.
Yeah.
There will always be the idea of death, which is how this gets tied into tithing, because there's always something owed from the past. If you're.
Well, I need to stop here. But I don't know why. But I'm just getting real nervous inside, and partly because I feel like I need to say we need to stop here, but I don't want to say we need to stop here. And I'm trying to figure out why I want to say that or need to say it.
Well, because this gets down, this is getting to the point, this is, in fact, this is exactly the point where soul and spirit meet. And this is the point in which you, I mean,
I think the reason is many times when you're preaching, it's like I get under a spell or something. And it's like I get caught up in what you're saying and I might get an impulse to disagree, but the power of your preaching is great and I feel so small or insignificant or something that to stop it and disagree or anything, probably I'm afraid to, or whatever the reasons. But just now, while you're saying this, what was happening was, I feel like I can't keep doing that. And it was like this was my last chance to make this statement.
It's a good idea.
Yeah. And it was like I withheld for a good 2 minutes. And it got worse and worse. I don't want to withhold. I don't want to be under this cloud or whatever it is. So it's like if I didn't say something, but it was like I don't even know what it is other than what I just said. It is
where it is. You must realize, and I think you do, that because of what happened when we talked Tuesday night about the mountains of Edom, you must realize that up till now, up till this very instant, you have always said the table of the Lord is contemptible.
That's right.
You have never once said the table of the Lord is clean.
That's probably true too.
Now, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, we're talking more freedom than you've ever dreamed of is that far from you.
I feel that close to it too.
Now, the table of the Lord is clean. I'm not declaring anything new. I'm only affirming that which was accomplished 2,000 years ago and is being witnessed in you by the Holy Spirit. So there's three witnesses coming at you at this instant. So that, I mean, and it's the most powerful force on the face of the universe. I mean, even your stubbornness can't stand up to it. I'm serious. The table of the Lord is clean. The sacrifice is perfect.